My name is Hub. I am Hub Arkish, and I am the editor and general manager at Pro Football Weekly from Shaw Media. And our panel tonight includes our senior Chicago Bears beat reporter, Kevin Fishbane, at the far end of the table. Here in the middle of the table is our senior NFL beat reporter, Arthur Arkish. Yes, same last name. There's a reason for that. And we continue to enjoy getting to people around the country, and we are now doing it in various ways beyond our syndicated TV show, our syndicated radio shows, and of course our insert weekly in the Northwest Herald, Kane County Chronicle, Sun Times, Daily Herald, all the papers around Chicago. We are now streaming live on Facebook as well. So anything is open forum for you, whatever you guys want to talk about. We cover the entire National Football League. We know we got a Browns fan here, poor him. So if there's other teams you want to ask about, the Bears, whatever it may be, I think Laura has a mic in her hand out there. So for whoever has a question, if Laura, you can make your way over to them, I guess. I think we have a question with this gentleman back here. Yes, sir.
Yeah, the Bears are struggling on offensive line. What do you think the odds of Brian Bulaga someday ending up back in Chicago?
Well, Brian got some serious paper just a year ago in terms of about, what was it, $37 million, I think, or something like that. And they don't usually spend that money unwisely. So, Josh Sitton is here. I guess it can happen. But they're pretty happy with Brian Bulaga in Green Bay right now. So my guess is that he is if not a career Packer, he's there for the foreseeable future, and it would be a long shot if he ended up with the Bears. Are you guys disagree at all? Or
don't disagree, but we do know Brian Bulaga is a local product, and good news to report on that front. He did get injured last week. That's not good, of course, but it was a back injury that's not serious, and he is expected to be full go tomorrow night. So, just on a personal note, Bulaga seems to be okay, and look, he's playing on a really good unit. Even after getting rid of Josh Sitton, the Packers have been very, very good along the offensive line. So it's a credit to Brian and the rest of that group.
You know, we got a few local kids. C.J. Fedorowicz is another one from up in Johnsburg.
Big day.
Would love to see C.J. back here.
Game-tying touchdown.
He's emerging. He's like an emerging star now with the Houston Texans. So the bad news is that they're not Bears. The good news, these kids are playing really well and probably are staying put for a little while. So. Other questions?
Have you guys mentioned Aaron Rodgers' struggles already? Is there any credence? It really talks since about the Denver game last year. And there's been some talk about some collateral damage off of Deflategate. He always liked his footballs on the higher end of things. Do you guys give any credence to that ever since then, that's what's been part of the drop-off?
I believe that the entire Deflategate saga is a figment of the imagination of Roger Goodell. That there's absolutely nothing to it. That footballs are not used at what am I trying to say? The room for difference in how heavily or how underinflated they may be is significant from stadium to stadium and weather to weather. So, whatever Aaron Rodgers might like, and he said at the time that he preferred a little bit of a harder football, I don't think anybody's playing with the footballs. And so I doubt that has anything to do with what's going on with his performance right now. Yes.
Not to be a non-Bears fan in the crowd, but we are. I just wanted to know, last week we had a Bengals come off of a four-week suspension with Perfleck, and then he was clearly seen making dangerous tackles and plays against Patriots, where he got a pretty insignificant fine, if you ask me, based on the 4 years of running history of his behavior. So don't you think that puts Goodell in a kind of a questionable position as far as his ability to have any authority to really make decisions around this when it's so widely ranging? Edelman got a fine on the same game, and his finger got caught in somebody's face mask. So it's hardly the same as walking back into a downed play and stomping on someone.
Yeah, I want to let the other guys chime in too, but I picked out the Patriots jersey right away, but I'm trying to remember who 73 is. John Hanna. There you go. Okay, so longtime Patriots fan. Okay, so you were a Patriots fan when you guys were getting your butts kicked in 85, right? And it's and 95, and ever since. All right, let's get you to answer the question. One of my favorite teams, by the way. Kevin?
I couldn't believe that they didn't suspend Vontaze Burfict for that. I mean, he stomped on LeGarrette Blount. He went at Martellus Bennett's knees. That's an easy suspension for a guy who's as you mentioned, had the suspension to start the season. You know, what I would love to see is the NFL Players Association come out every once in a while, because one of the reasons that the league can't do it is because then the players will go after it, they'll appeal, and it comes to all this, like, law stuff. I'd love the Players Association to say, I know they never would, to say, hey, we don't approve of the way Vontaze Burfict is representing us and the players, so we support any kind of suspension the league would put on him. That'll never happen, but that should have been at least one game for considering his past.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch to unpack there, really, if you think about it. First of all, I think that Roger Goodell over the last almost 2 years has been an absolute embarrassment to the National Football League. And I'm not just saying that with our friends and neighbors here at Goal Line. I have said it on national radio and TV. I've written it at the website for our hundreds of thousands, whatever it may be. It's just kind of shameful the way he is abusing his power and the way he's treated specifically Brady and the Patriots. But now we're talking about the Bengals and Burfict. I actually thought that Marvin Lewis should have been fired after last season for allowing that to happen in the game in Pittsburgh, because we all knew it was coming, and the head coach could have stopped it, and he didn't. And that's probably a little reactionary, and Marvin Lewis is a class act and maybe didn't deserve to be fired. But then the fact that his response was to completely ignore it and say, no, he's a key to the football team, we're going to bring him back for more. I think the Bengals, I mean, if the New England Patriots are going to be fined $1 million and a first-round pick for doing nothing, I would think that the Cincinnati Bengals organization should be, you know, penalized in some way for making the game dangerous for everybody else who's trying to play it. That's it.
And just to finish that thought, the NFL's top priority, they say, is player safety, yet Vontaze Burfict, a repeat offender who now is up to, what, $825,000 in fines in his career, but not penalized for this. It's really ludicrous. And you heard NFL players coming out today. At least one, D'Angelo Williams, came out and said more or less just that, but Marvin Lewis backed his guy yet again. So we'll see if the Bengals slide continues. Maybe Lewis's honeymoon is finally over in Cincinnati.
Anybody else? Yes, sir. Walter Payton's here.
Big fan. What do you think of Dak Prescott? And is he the real deal? And if you were the Cowboys when Tony Romo's ready to come back, do you start Romo or do you go with Prescott?
Well, Dak Prescott works for Jerry Jones, so I don't like him. What do you guys think? The kid, he's playing really good football. They've put him in a situation to succeed, which is what you should do with a rookie quarterback. He obviously is mature beyond his years. He's obviously a really intelligent player, you know, which at that position more than anywhere else, I think, is probably the key. I don't really think he's been tested yet. We've seen this happen before. But specifically in answer to your question, I don't know how you put Romo on the field now. I mean, at least until the kid does something to say we've got to get the veteran back out there. That the team is playing, you know, light years above where anybody thought they could. And I don't know how you can make a change right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. You never hope for anyone's injury, but if Tony Romo did come back and they put him on the field, he probably would get hurt again. So then they could just put Prescott back in. I mean, they can't get rid of Romo because of his contract. It's a good problem to have, but Prescott's earned the job. He's played well, and, never leave a table on a heater, as they say at the casino. So, yeah, I think you got to continue to ride Prescott as long as you can. Look, Romo hasn't been a consistently good player in a couple of years. We know what he can do, but we haven't seen it enough in the past two seasons.
You know, one of the reasons people worry about that position with the Cowboys is that Romo has basically lost every big game he's ever played in and never really gotten them past the first round of the playoffs. So I think you give the kid a chance and see what he can do.